Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Nick Dawn and Greg, 855-839-1210. Get us on social media at 1210WPHT. Watch us for free live on YouTube, youtube.com/at1210WPHT. The cut sheet coming up at 7:45. Also, Elon Musk says the United States needs a red wave to save it. Where have we heard that before? We'll get to that. John Fetterman, and also the last little bit here on the border, as Joe Biden is calling it payback. 90% of illegal immigrants in Biden's secret program have been flown to. We'll give you the states and the numbers coming up shortly. Also, Tony Bruno at 8:30 this morning, and our veteran spotlight debuts this morning at 9:30, courtesy of our great friends at Window Nation. But before all of that, let's get to the news. Round number two, 7:03, the great Dawn Stenzel.
And good morning. We are sponsored this morning by Best Work Industries for the Blind. We've been following the latest on this breaking story of Philadelphia firefighters on the scene of a huge fire, row home catching fire in Philadelphia's Nicetown neighborhood. Early this morning, we know that a 60-year-old man did not survive the flames. However, many others did, as a family was trapped upstairs, especially on a second and third story portion of the home. Four children rescued with the help of firefighters, as well as those neighbors who came to the rescue. And we know that a lady actually jumped from a second story window to escape the flames, and she's listed in serious condition right now. I don't have the conditions of those four children who are being treated. A total of 12 people were inside this large home at the time when the flames broke out, 1900 block of Denny Street. We also have a lot of other news of the day. Of course, everybody's looking to I-95, all those detours continuing in the pouring rain as Conrail crews work to repair that railroad bridge that, of course, was struck by that huge truck, the semi that was carrying that big cylinder that got stuck. And as our own Greg Stocker had said, misjudged the size of his load.
Know your load.
A Conrail representative announcing yesterday afternoon the company's repair plan hopefully will have I-95 reopened within the next 72 hours. And he made that announcement yesterday. Hopefully, they're very hopeful that at some point Thursday, which of course coincides with WrestleMania, 200,000 people here for the big WrestleMania event. The PennDOT officials were not quite as optimistic as the others.
I tell you what, we picked a hell of a time to host a big sporting event,
oh
so to
goodness.
Speak, have we?
Yes.
Between the rain and then the construction with the infrastructure.
Amen. And that's, I think that's part of the pressure here, is that you have all these people descending on our region, and then to have this hot mess and the rain,
yes,
that we've talked about. I know that on the Drexel University campus, police are investigating vandalism as a hate crime because it was at the Pearlman Center. And so this is, once again, appears to be anti-Semitic type of vandalism going on the Drexel campus and being taken very seriously.
I still, to this day, here we are, what, 6 months removed from October 7th, the amount of young people that have taken this, you know, pro-Palestine, pro-Hamas, pro-Gaza stance. It's just staggering. I thought that there would be no doubt about it that the younger generation, the college generation, would be pro-Israel. I've never been more wrong on anything in my life. It's still, I mean, to this day, let me guess, they were graffiti and spray paint cans with a swastika would be my guess.
Yeah, that's the usual. This one, they were also removing the name, the Pearlman name as well. But they said it's definitely, this is anti-Semitism on campus. Who did this? So they're looking into it and reviewing all the surveillance video.
Yep.
And there's a lot of it, Nick.
So, oh, yeah.
We also have the grieving parents of a 21-year-old college student who's been missing for weeks, speaking out. The body of 21-year-old Osar Scott Thomas, who's been missing since the evening of March 7th. His body was pulled from the Schuylkill River. Engineering college students and mom and dad speaking out, and just, you know, your heart goes out to them. This investigation continues on what happened here.
Do they suspect foul play, or is this suspecting a drowning?
They're not really saying. They're very tight-lipped about this.
Okay.
It just doesn't add up. And the parents, I know, did at least one interview, and investigators say they're still looking into the situation. So I know that the Sixers Arena Project, we have a city-appointed panel that is harshly critiquing as the Sixers still try to go for this arena project. So we've been following that for you as an economic story for Philadelphia. And one thing that I'll just point out, they said, you know, back in the day, everybody thought, oh, this is great. Put a shopping mall in parts of Center City because shopping malls bring people. Well, now that didn't age well.
No.
So they're applying that same principle, you know, to say, right in the middle of, you know, Center City, do we really want an arena such as this? Maybe now it looks like a good thing, but how does that age?
I also wonder, too, I mean, not only have, you know, shopping malls become, you know, relics of the past, so to speak, unless you're a very high-end, you know, place like King of Prussia, but also with all the retail theft and all of the shoplifting, I don't know that that's the wisest of ideas, especially in a city where you're not enforcing the laws on the books already.
Oh, good point.
Yeah.
In sports, we have certainly the bright spot. The sun has not come out this month of April yet, but Joel Embiid, he's our bright shining spot for us here. He returned, I mean, thunderous applause, returning from that knee surgery, finally helping lift our Sixers over the Thunder, 109-105. So much excitement as he was adding 7 assists, 6 rebounds, and just bringing the confidence back. And empowering. He's the wind beneath the wings of our Sixers.
He's the only thing you have to look forward to when it comes to the two teams that occupy the Wells Fargo Center.
And I like the new hairstyle.
The hair. It's watching the Phillies.
You were? Okay.
Yeah.
We were flipping back and forth.
What was the hair? Was he going with the afro? Did he have it braided?
It's kind of braided, and it was like a cool design off the top. He's rocking a new hairstyle there, so I love it.
Okay.
And then Nick was watching, as he said, the Phillies, Bryce Harper. You know what? Remember how we knew Bryce was so mad? I like mad Bryce Harper.
You like mad Bryce?
You know, because it fired him up.
I just like healthy Harper. I just want that man to stay healthy and play like 150 out of 162 games.
Well, amen to that. Bryce Harper homering for his first 3 hits of the season, including a grand slam. Our Philadelphia Phillies beating Cincinnati Reds 9-4 last night, and moving today's matchup, moving it from 1 to 4 p.m., we'll look at the forecast on that one. They're just trying to get through this. Just raw, rainy, and loyal fans for sure going to the Phillies games this week with this horrible rain. By the way, it was the first time a Phillies player hit 3 home runs in a game at Citizens Bank Park since Jason Wirth back May 16th, 2008 against Toronto.
Wow, that's the World Series year.
Right?
Yeah.
Remember it well.
Also a great beard, by the way.
Nick Cale, you're ranking the greatest beards.
I've got Jason Wirth's beard slightly ahead of Brandon Marsh in the beard power rankings.
Well, this is not the greatest forecast for us, for sure. The rain is likely to get heavy again. It looks like 9:30 is when we're going to see the rain spike again. And then heaviest through 2 p.m. this afternoon. I still see some thunderbolts, the possibility for thunderbolts around 4. So hopefully that's wrong and we can mitigate, maybe Mother Nature will mitigate the forecast for us. Man, is this miserable weather. 52 degrees is the high today. It's never going to feel like 52 because of the wind. Rainfall may reach 1 inch and flood watches across the entire region. So 52, the high, it's not going to feel like that. Just horrible and rainy today. Got to get through tomorrow morning and tomorrow mid-morning. Looks like the rain turns to a 50-50 situation, depending on where you are tomorrow for your Thursday, first day of WrestleMania coming to our region. So 55 degrees tomorrow. Then the sun comes out Friday. 50 degrees. It's going to feel good to have the sunshine. And then sunshine remains Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday into next week. So we're then rising in temperatures. Saturday, 53 degrees sunny. Sunday, 60 degrees and sunshine. And then we warm up from there. So we just have to hang on and get through tonight and through tomorrow, at least through half of tomorrow before the rain lets up. Kale and Company News Live, sponsored by Best Work Industries for the Blind. And they are sponsoring Kale and Company certainly today. They are e-commerce store helping businesses succeed in all work environments. BestWorkSupplyCenter.com offers traditional office products, cleaning supplies, furniture, technology, much more. Free shipping, next day delivery. Shop now. Save at BestWorkSupplyCenter.com. Kale and Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. Before we get to the cut sheet coming up at 7:45, two or three things that we're going to hit on. Elon Musk and whether or not he will, in fact, endorse Donald Trump. Also, John Fetterman has lost multiple staffers from his communications team, and they are going for greener pastures. We'll tell you why. But I do want to wrap up the conversation here in the next 5 minutes on the border. And this was the last story that we were talking about. A lot on abortion being on the ballot and also the immigration issue. But this was a very interesting story with some amazing details. So Joe Biden, as we have seen and we have been hearing through reports, this administration is taking illegal immigrants and getting them packed onto planes, and we know dropping them off all throughout the country. And we've seen this kind of this back and forth battle between the Biden administration and Republican governors of red states that are border states. Most notably, I think the two that have stood up and stood out the most are Ron DeSantis and obviously Greg Abbott in Texas. So according to the Colorado Gazette, the headline reads, payback. 90% of illegal immigrants in secret program have been flown by the Biden administration to Florida and to Texas. I've got some of these numbers here, and the analysis reveals that U.S. cities where the majority of migrants arrive on Biden's plan are flying in 326,000 undocumented immigrants in the last year, and it's coming out to about 30,000 per month. Let me just highlight some of the cities and the states, and I think this is absolutely by design. The top eight cities: Miami, Florida, has received in the last year and 3 months, so we're going back to the beginning of calendar year 2023, 326,000 migrants to Miami, Florida. That to me is Joe Biden saying, bleep you, Ron DeSantis. Number two, in a way, way, way back distant second, is Houston, Texas at 21,964. Los Angeles, California, 8,300. Boston, Massachusetts, 4,800. San Francisco, California, 4,600. Atlanta, 4,500. Baltimore, 3,700. Chicago, 1,500. To my knowledge, every single one of those are blue cities. Obviously, Florida and Texas, red states. But the rest of that right there that we gave you, for the most part, big blue cities. And when you think about all of these redistricting purposes and this coordinated, calculated invasion, I hope it blows up on the Biden administration and it backfires on them. As Greg mentioned in the first hour, many people that are Hispanic are Catholic, lean more conservative. Maybe that helps Republicans, not just in Florida, but in Texas and other states. So it's going to be interesting to see when you have all of these illegal immigrants being shipped all over the place, and with the absurdity of being able to vote with just a social security number without photo ID, how many of them pay back Joe Biden, so to speak, by voting Democrat, versus how many are actually conservative in nature in their beliefs and their ideology, and they vote Republican. I think that'll be something to keep an eye on. And lastly, a couple of quotes here from this Colorado Gazette story. Investigator Todd Benzman said that this program that the Biden administration is utilizing allows, quote, aspiring illegal border crossers from nine Latin American countries to buy an airline ticket and fly directly to the city of their choice, where they merely get processed and then they are let go. And when we were talking about this surge and this influx and this crisis, they give a really great breakdown of the countries and the timeline that all of this has been happening. So this begun in October of 2022 for Venezuelans. And then starting last year in January of 2023, it expanded to Cuban, Haitian, Nicaraguan, and Colombian individuals. And the program approves flight travel authorizations for the aspiring illegal border crossers still in other countries to then arrange commercial airline passage for themselves over the southern border and then receive temporary but easily renewable humanitarian parole is what they call it from CBP officers at the airport. Benzman said in this new report, one incentive to dissuade beneficiaries from illegal border crossings is that the parole program comes with eligibility for renewable work permits. So they end up getting where they want to go and working and doing what they want to do and flying under the radar in many, many regards. This to me, and if you want to pull it up, you can see this was about 11 hours ago. I referenced the Twitter feed and wokeness with some of these stats. They put up a map of the entire globe and they color code it based on what nations and what continents and all the different voting restrictions and requirements. And they highlighted blue, gray, and red. And the United States is one of the few democracies on the planet that requires photo ID in only a handful of states. It's actually surprising. It's shocking. It's alarming. I think it's embarrassing and pathetic. But this is clearly, I think, the Biden administration's payback for, remember when DeSantis was shipping them up to Martha's Vineyard and, you know, all the blue cities and the blue areas of the country with the hate has no home here and things like that. So I don't think this border battle is going to die down anytime soon. I think the Trump campaign endorsement commercial that we saw in the first hour in the Big Take was really well done. And right now it's pretty much just ride it out because Trump said no deal is better than a bad deal. And I totally agree with him. Sadly, we're at the point where both sides have to play politics with the border. But you're not going to throw out Biden a lifeline 6 months before the election. Whether Democrats want to sit there and Karine Jean-Pierre wants to go up on stage and say, you know, this was a great deal and Republicans have been complaining about this and then they shot it down. If I'm a Republican, there's no way I'm signing off on that bill that they shot down based on the allocation of funds that continue to go to Ukraine and a very small fraction going to our southern border. So just wanted to wrap up that story with all of those details. I know it was a lot of numbers, but I thought it was important to go through. So if you have thoughts on that, you can certainly jump in at 855-839-1210. All right, when we come back, Elon Musk says the U.S. needs a red wave to save it. Is Elon prepared to publicly endorse and vote for Donald Trump? We'll get to that story when we continue. It's Kale and Company on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Hopefully you were listening to my FanDuel reads the last couple of days about Dinger Tuesdays for the MLB. Hopefully you had Bryce Harper last night, because if you did, he cleaned up. The sports calendar is loaded, and FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino is making it even more exciting to get in on the action. Right now, new customers get $200 in bonus bets with any winning $5 bet. That's $200 you can use to bet the tournament, MLB, NBA, NHL, and so much more. All you have to do is go to FanDuel.com/Greg, FanDuel.com/Greg, and make your first bet a big win. I said this weekend, Saturday, two games, NC State at Purdue and Alabama at UConn. Final Four. I'm taking Purdue -9.5 and Alabama +11.5. All you have to do is go to FanDuel.com/Greg. FanDuel.com/Greg. FanDuel Sportsbook, the official partner of 1210 WPHT. FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook, 21 and over, present in PA. First online real money wager, only $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable. Bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms of sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Hopefully all of you having a great start to your day on this sloppy, sloppy hump day. Cut sheet in about 20 minutes. We will get to the Elon Musk red wave story coming up in just a couple of minutes. But I do want to give this Fetterman update out. I was teasing this yesterday. We didn't get to it, and I've teased it this morning. So we've got a couple of minutes here. I'll get this in here. So Fetterman's top comm staffers are resigning amid an ongoing backlash against the senator over his pro-Israel stance. We've talked a lot about this over the last 4 or 5 months with John Fetterman as he's continued his recovery from his stroke, and more he comes out, and it looks like he's clearly not a progressive, right? Like, it's just obvious he's kind of like your blue-collar Democrat liberal, and that hasn't sat too well with a lot of people that were working for him, as he has now lost 3 top communication staffers, according to Fox News, and they have left for other left-leaning offices all within the span of a month. The departures come as the Pennsylvania Democrat has made headlines for his stances on Israel and immigration, separating him from his fellow Democrat colleagues. I think this is where we're seeing the divide between, like, the liberal Democrat and the progressive squad Democrat. Joe Covello formerly worked as Fetterman's director of communications, both in his Senate office and on his 2022 campaign. And a statement released earlier this month by the city of Chicago announced that Covello would be joining as the chief strategy officer in Chicago for Democrat Mayor Brandon Johnson's office. So what did Mr. Covello do? He said, you know what, Fetterman, you're not woke enough for me. I'm going to go work for Brandon Johnson in Chicago, who's even further left than Lori Lightfoot. And then also, Fetterman's deputy communication director, Nicholas Gaveo, shared on X just this past Friday that he would be joining the Working Families Party in Philadelphia and in the region as the Mid-Atlantic Communications Director. Gaveo also worked on Fetterman's 2022 campaign, as well as Bernie Sanders' office in Vermont. The Working Families Party in Philadelphia, a progressive minor political party whose platforms include raising the minimum wage, increasing taxes on the rich, and environmental and educational reform. And the party has previously been associated with notable Democratic politicians, including AOC. So I think we got a lot of people in Fetterman's inner circle that are like, you know what? This isn't what we were told. You sold us a bill of goods. And as you continue to recoup from your stroke and your procedure and all the issues that you've been dealing with, you know what? You're not far left enough for us, sir. So we are out. How about that? John Fetterman, I'm telling you, we're going to get to a point one day where we're going to be thinking, let me ask you this real quick question, because I know we're up against it clockwise to stay on track. Could you see in all of the failed no labels options, could you see Fetterman day by day becoming more and more moderate, and Fetterman becomes the face of the no labels unity ticket?
No.
All right, good conversation.
I'm sorry.
All right, coming up next, Elon Musk says the U.S. needs a red wave to save it. We'll get to that as we continue. Cut sheet 15 minutes out. Stay right there. It's Kale and Company back after this.
Sorry about that.
My kitchen is the heart of my home. Just coming off a great family weekend with Easter Sunday, all the cooking, all the family. And I always say, everybody, let's go in the family room. Let's go in the dining. Nope, everybody wants to be in the kitchen. That's why it's really such an important room. If you look at all the studies, they say 78% of people say the kitchen is the most important room, the center of every home. And that's why if your kitchen, especially if your kitchen is outdated, you need kitchen math. But by the way, if that guest bathroom downstairs is outdated, they do that too. They're local, family, Pennsylvania owned and operated since 1979. Just schedule a free in-home design consultation today and bring your kitchen or bath back to life. Kitchen Magic, full service remodeler, and the one I trust to quickly, beautifully, and affordably transform your kitchen or your bath. Right now, Kitchen Magic offering 12 months, no payments, no interest financing, and 10% off your remodel. Just visit them, kitchenmagic.com, kitchenmagic.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Tony Bruno at 8:30 from Florida. Hour 1210 WPHT Veteran Spotlight at 9:30. I suggest you don't touch that dial because we are absolutely loaded for the next 2.5 hours this morning. Going to get to this Elon Musk red wave comment in just a moment. Super jealous personal moment, though.
Yeah.
Opelka's been texting me throughout the show.
Why is he bothering? Why is he bothering my morning drive person?
He's not bothering me. Okay. He's actually. I feel his pain though.
He's in for Zioli all this week. By the way, 3-7. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, very good. He says, you're the only one who will feel my pain. This is from Opelka about 15 minutes ago. He says, my brother who played basketball at Alabama just got two tickets to the Final Four, $250 each. And if Alabama wins, they include the national championship. Opelka's brother is apparently in Florida, and he can't go. And Opelka also can't go. So you've got these tickets that were probably a hot commodity. And nobody can use them, myself included, because A, I'm not taking time off, and B, I can't spend that kind of money. But Opelka was hooked up with a great deal, includes airfare, hotel,
what?
Everything.
Wow.
You believe that?
Yeah. Wow.
So who's going to take the tickets?
I have no idea. Somebody, I would just sell them, but I mean, I would love to go see something like that. But
Dawn can't go. She's in Italy.
Yeah. One of these
and
days,
I can't have you off
trip.
Too.
No, I'm not going anywhere. All right. So thank you very much, Opelka. Now I'm in my feelings wishing I could do things like that, but I can't. But one thing we can do is I believe we can appreciate a man who believes free speech is worth losing $22 billion. And I've long been a fan of Elon Musk, even prior to his acquisition of X. And it's funny how when you think about somebody, when they are a mainstream media darling and the left loves you, and you do one thing that deviates away from the talking points, you quickly become dead to them. Donald Trump, mainstream media darling, decides to run for Republican and run as a Republican in 2015. Now he's persona non grata. Same thing with all of the environmental nut jobs out there and all the Tesla owners. Oh, we love our little Elon Musk. He's our environmentally friendly scientist. And then all of a sudden he purchases X. He restores free speech. And now you can't even find out by using like an AI chatbot if Elon Musk is a better human being than Adolf Hitler was. Because if you ask, you know, ChatGPT that question, they say it's too tough of a call to answer. So you know that the left and mainstream media now hates Elon Musk. And I don't know that Elon Musk would go through with this. But if you were going to come out and say that the United States needs a red wave to save it, which is exactly what Elon Musk said, then there's no doubt about it. You need to come out and endorse Donald Trump and vote for Donald Trump and say you're going to vote for Donald Trump, because you know what? You're already dead to the left. Okay. That the left now does not view Elon Musk the way they used to. Now, I would argue that Elon's politics probably align more with like an RFK. RFK as an environmental guy, a guy against censorship, a guy against big pharma. Those are three things that Elon Musk stands for. But Elon Musk said the following, quote, I voted 100% Dem until a few years ago. Now I think we need a red wave or America is toast. That is what Elon Musk tweeted on X on Sunday. Musk, who said he voted for Biden in 2020, grew critical of Biden after Tesla was excluded from the president's 2021 electrical vehicle summit. So it was probably a little sour grapes there as the owner of Tesla. And although Musk hasn't hidden his distaste towards Biden, the billionaire has not endorsed Biden's rival, Donald Trump, yet. Quote, I think I would not vote for Biden. I'm not saying I would vote for Trump, Musk said. And we know he had that long summit back in November with, I forget the guy's name. He was one of those editors or writers from the New York Times. He had three. It was like something, something Sorkin. I forget what his first name is. And we played you that and a lot of that stuff on the cut sheet.
Andrew Ross Sorkin.
Andrew Ross Sorkin. That is correct. Thank you.
Something, something Sorkin.
Something. How I knew Sorkin, but I didn't recall the first two is amazing. He also goes on to say that this is a critical point in the history of the United States of America, where many of our established entities are under attack. Okay, so I'm going to put Elon Musk in the same category as our buddy that we played on Monday, Michael Rapaport. You know what I'm tired of? And this is going to come off a little strongly worded, but that's fine. If you have children, maybe just turn this down.
Oh, boy.
I don't think this will get us in trouble. But if it is, Greg, just yell at me. Do whatever.
Okay.
You know the word that rhymes with hussy? Hussy. But with a P word instead of hussy.
Yeah.
Stop hussyfooting around the issue.
Oh, you can say pussyfooting. That's fine.
Yeah, stop pussyfooting around the issue. If you do not like Joe Biden and you think Joe Biden is awful, and that is your right to say that, even though in this country it's like, God forbid you criticize a Democrat, and maybe the bigger crime is God forbid you publicly endorse a Republican, come out and say it and vote for the guy and say you're endorsing Trump. Rappaport's been saying for months, voting for Trump's on the table. It's on the table. It's on the table. Dude, it's been on the table for 6 months. You still have 6 months to go. But you know you're not voting for Biden, so just come out and say you're voting for Trump. Because every issue that you take issue with Biden, Trump is strong on. So that would make you, I don't know, either pussyfooting around the issue or a hypocrite or whatever. The same thing for Elon Musk. And Elon Musk isn't going to consult anybody. He's got bleep you money. He can do whatever he wants, say whatever he wants. Maybe there's people in his inner circle that can't tell him and sway him one way or the other. But I would just say this. If you're making these comments that the United States needs a red wave to save the country, well, I got news for you, Elon. RFK is not saving the United States of America, all right? Because RFK doesn't fall under what would be the accomplishment of being a red wave. Elon Musk, RFK, probably more aligned issue to issue down the list, but there's no doubt about it. And remember, Trump and Elon Musk, they met about 5 or 6 weeks ago. This was back in like beginning of March. And the reports were that no, Donald Trump did not ask Elon Musk for money when we're talking about all of the ongoing judgments that he owes to E. Jean Carroll and to Letitia James and the state of New York. And I'll take everybody at the face value for that. Trump probably did not ask him for money. But if I'm Trump, I would have asked him for his endorsement. And my question would be, because Elon Musk, I actually think, resonates with both sides of the political spectrum. I think there's a lot of free speech absolutists that appreciate what Elon Musk did. I think there's a lot of environmental people that like Elon Musk with Tesla, the science, the nerdy people. They like the space shuttles and all that stuff. So I actually think Elon Musk coming out and endorsing Trump would carry significant weight. If we are talking about a razor thin election, if you're Trump, you go to Elon Musk and say, hey, I saw the red wave comment. How about a public endorsement? Because I think Elon Musk can sway people that are in that independent, moderate range towards Donald Trump. You guys think an Elon Musk endorsement would carry weight in a razor tight election?
I do.
For either guy, by the way.
I do. I don't think that Elon Musk is going to come out and endorse Trump.
Out of fear? Because, I mean, this is the man that has basically been, you know, telling America that if you don't like what I have to say,
go fuck yourself.
No, it's true. It's true. He doesn't seem to care what people think of him.
But it does seem like he's more of an RFK guy, would be my guess.
I mean, the comment about the red wave is very telling.
Right.
I mean, that's as close, I think, as he's ever come to endorsing anybody.
Which is, and if you think about it, in the last 2 years since he purchased X, he has gradually slid further right on every issue, which is where I arrive at the conclusion, and then come out and endorse him. Dude, you already lost $22 billion on X.
Yeah.
You're already dead to the mainstream media. You know, there's a faction of Democrats that probably don't like you after you've restored free speech and done these things. You don't really have anything else to lose. And whatever you do lose, it's not going to affect you anyway. So I just thought that was an interesting story.
I think as far as Elon Musk, he's also worried about the fact that, you know, Tesla's quarterly deliveries declining for the first time nearly 4 years.
Is that true?
Fell short of Wall Street analyst estimates.
That's a bloodbath from what I understand.
Yes.
Don't use that word.
I know.
Don't use that. And then also you have the Tax Foundation, that's an advocacy group for, you know, lowering taxes, says that Biden's sweeping budget blueprint for federal spending for fiscal 2025, which, you know, would reduce economic output, would reduce our output by 2.2% in the long run, slashes wages by 1.6%, and would kill nearly 800,000 full-time jobs.
Oh, boy.
So I think a lot of, remember you played the clip of, we played Jamie Dimon.
Yep.
Speaking about this in, where was that, New Hampshire, I believe, when he spoke about a red wave. And I think these guys, they're looking at the numbers.
Yes.
If you're somebody who's not looking at the emotion, you're looking at, it's all about the economy, it's about the numbers, and that will fuel everything,
right,
and make everybody's lives better. You know, I think that's what Elon Musk is looking at.
Yep, well said. Emotions versus facts and actual raw numbers. Because we have a great, I mean, look, we can put the two resumes up for the first 3 years and compare them side by side, which we don't get a chance to do very often in this level of politics. All right, 7:46, let's get to a Wednesday edition of What's on the Cut Sheet.
What's on the Cut Sheet?
What's on the Cut Sheet on this Wednesday is brought to you by Cherry Hill Volvo, who right now they have ample inventory of brand new and beautiful pre-owned Volvos. Enjoy the luxury experience you deserve. They always go the extra mile for their customers because relationships matter at Cherry Hill Volvo. Check them out at Route 70 in Cherry Hill. Judith Yosef and the entire team at Cherry Hill Volvo, tell them you heard about them on 1210 WPHT. Thank you, Cherry Hill Volvo, for sponsoring the ever-important Wednesday edition of What's on the Cut Sheet. Streaming live on YouTube, youtube.com/F1210WPHT. Please hit the like and subscribe button if you're watching right now, or if you're going to get to your destination and watch us later, please hit the subscribe button. I know you played this in your big take, but it's worth playing again. Because there's a whole slew of comments around it from KJP and everything. Donald Trump released this brutal new ad on Biden's border bloodbath, is what he's calling it.
Yep.
This is Cut 5. Philip, go.
A murder on Grand Rapids Southwest Side yesterday.
Armed and dangerous.
This is the parking lot where police responded yesterday to gunfire reports, and it is where they found 22-year-old Leah Gomez, who was pronounced dead right here at the scene.
A mom to a nearly 2-year-old daughter with special needs.
Sledgehammer smashing through the jewelry cases.
It should be surprising, but it's not.
Great Lakes Crossing and Oakland Mall in Troy were hit by this crew, linked back to his cell from Chile in South America.
The Chilean gangs have been hitting us very hard. We have 100-plus teams in operation right now in America.
Police say Brandon Ortiz Vite used a handgun he bought illegally to shoot Ruby Garcia multiple times on Friday before leaving her body on the freeway and driving off in her car. Just an awful story. And he confessed that he committed the crime.
Wow, super powerful. We played you that in the big take. I would take it a step further, and obviously you can create a bunch of ads, so you don't need to put seven different things into one 60-second or 30-second commercial. I mean, I would take the Lake and Riley stuff. I would take, remember the video we showed you months ago of the migrants coming out of the courthouse in New York, flipping off the cameramen? One of the guys was wearing a basketball jersey, I believe. I would take that.
By the way, that guy was acquitted, by the way.
Was he acquitted?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I think he wasn't at the, he actually wasn't at the scene of the crime.
That was the mob scene, I think, before.
Yeah.
I would take the video of the Border Patrol agents being steamrolled with the fence, you know, falling over them and things like that. And I would just say this is Biden's America, where redistricting purposes are a bigger concern than your safety and security. I think it's a very powerful ad, and I think it's going to come down to the two ads, abortion versus the border.
Donald Trump was in Grand Rapids, Michigan yesterday, and he was standing in front of officers, border officials and everything,
yep.
And basically was saying, he's hammering that point home about the border bloodbath. This is what he said on that. This is 8, Phil, go.
I stand before you today to declare that Joe Biden's border bloodbath, it's a border bloodbath, and it's destroying our country. It's a very bad thing happening. The Democrats say, please don't call them animals. They're humans. I said, no, they're not humans. They're not humans. They're animals. Not one more innocent life should be lost to Biden migrant crime. The first step to restoring safety in America is to fire crooked Joe Biden, get him out November 5th. We don't want them coming into our country with contagious diseases, and they have it. And all of a sudden, you see these contagious diseases spreading. Once peaceful, suburban Michigan is really now, you're under an invasion.
There you go.
Wow, I can't believe NBC News and Meet the Press Now actually aired that. Did they consult with Rachel Maddow, brand manager, before doing so?
Brand manager Rachel Maddow. No,
wow.
I don't think they did.
Okay. I'm looking at the swing state general election poll that was just released from the Wall Street Journal. Trump leads Michigan by 3 points right now over Biden, 48-45. I also saw this is actually a big victory also yesterday for Trump. I believe Trump secured the Michigan Police Union endorsement, which accounts for over, I think, 12,000 members. So a good day and good trends right now for Trump in the Wolverine state.
I got to say, going back to the big take that you had, and by the way, if you missed it, about 6:10 this morning, just go back on the Odyssey app and hit the rewind portion. You can listen to it. This really is, like, you can see two campaigns, Biden hammering home the abortion issue, Trump hammering home the immigration issue.
Yep.
And the who wins this election is going to, it's going to be decided on those two issues.
Yeah. And I've said this for a while. I'm still a little surprised. Again, I'm not downplaying the border by any stretch. It's an absolute unmitigated disaster. But I never thought it would get to the point where it jumped the economy as the number one issue. The economy's still a big issue, for sure. I just never thought that this would be the number one thing. I thought people would take their bottom line dollar before, you know, safety, security, so forth and so on with the border. But that has not been the case. We've seen that in almost every primary state leading up to primary day where, you know, the public was polled and the results were telling.
Cut 9 here, Phil. Trump yesterday in Grand Rapids, Michigan, on what he will do on day one. Cut 9, go.
On day one, I will seal the border and will begin the largest domestic deportation operation in the history of our country. And if other countries say they won't take them back, we're not going to take them back. I will say that, here they come. You're just going to hold on to your britches, because here they come. They're coming back.
There you go.
Hold on to your britches. I'm sending the animals back. You know the mainstream media is going to run with that.
Oh, they
today.
Hated it. They hated it.
The word animals is going to be plastered all over the screen today. And it's going to be, he called all of these other human beings animals. I think specifically he's referring to the ones that are come here that act like animals, that are violent criminals, rapists, killers, gang members, drug dealers. So I have no problem calling that segment of the group animals. You act like an animal, you get treated like an animal.
By the way, the immigration issue won Trump the election in 2016. So I think it's a smart issue for him to be hammering home. Karine Jean-Pierre took to the podium yesterday and discussed Trump calling the invasion, the border invasion, a bloodbath.
Uh-oh.
She was not happy about it.
Oh, of course not.
Cut one, Phil, go.
Right. Going back to the bloodbath question, the former president used that terminology a week or two ago, but he's talking about it again today. What's the White House reaction to the use of that term, bloodbath?
I'm going to be really mindful here because it is president, the former president is also a candidate here, so want to follow the law with the Hatch Act.
Well, she loves the Hatch Act, doesn't she?
Our response is we have to denounce any violent rhetoric that we hear, certainly from our leaders, right, that tears our country apart. It could tear up our country apart and puts our fellow Americans in harm's way, in danger. So we have to denounce that. And look, you know, I think and we think that the American people wants to see the country coming together. That's what they want. They want to make sure that we respect our democracy. They want.
You've had 3 years to bring the country together, Joe. All you've used is divisive rhetoric since you took office. You know what's amazing to me is the safety and security of Americans is at risk when Trump uses words. But it's the Democrats' actions that are not a safety and security risk to Americans. So you have an open border. You have a stampede of illegal immigrants coming across, committing all sorts of crime. That is not a safety and health issue for Americans, but Trump using the word bloodbath or animals is a threat to democracy. I love that. The left is always putting the value of words above the punitive results of actions or failed actions.
Violent rhetoric that puts our fellow Americans in harm's way.
Right, right.
Words hurt!
Words hurt!
Oh, shut up.
You little softy. Go home.
Ugh. I cannot take, I cannot stand the words.
She is a totally incompetent, empty suit up there. And I've said this in the past. The only time I will ever defend her is just in general. She's got bad facts to work with. So you could spin it. John Kirby's better at spinning it. Jake Sullivan's better at spinning it. But she is just atrocious at her job. She's always mindful of all the ways that she cannot tell you anything. She's memorized the Hatch Act. There's about four Americans in this country that know what the Hatch Act is. And she's one of them. It might be the only thing she's ever studied and memorized. The Hatch Act.
A suspected Venezuelan illegals found squatting in the basement of a home in the Bronx. Police found multiple loaded guns, three extended magazines, ammo, ketamine mixed with cocaine, and a 7-year-old child.
Yep, they're coming here for refuge.
One of the migrants had previously been charged with attempted murder for shooting someone in the leg. The police were called after one of the men was spotted with a gun next to a school.
Ah.
A neighbor said the owner of the home had been trying to get them out for the longest period of time, but couldn't thanks to New York squatting laws.
Mm. Wouldn't happen in Florida anymore.
The men were charged with criminal possession of a weapon, criminal possession of controlled substances, and acting in a manner that could injure a child. All the men, except for two, we're released without bail.
Just don't call them animals, whatever you do, Greg.
This is courtesy of ABC 7 New York, Eyewitness News, Cut 7, Phil, go.
That we just obtained when police sprung into action, hopping out of their squad cars after they got a call about a man with a gun. When they arrived, they chased 24-year-old Hector De Soso Viata, believed to be from Venezuela, into the basement of this Hull Avenue home. Another man, 22-year-old Javier El Borno, tried to get away with another gun before he was also arrested. Playing on your screen now are four of the eight suspects that were under arrest being walked out one by one from police. When a search warrant was in place, investigators recovered two more loaded guns, three loaded extended magazines, a box of ammunition, and a bag of ketamine mixed with cocaine.
Cool.
Moments ago, we spoke with a neighbor just next door about the landlord and those uninvited guests.
There you go.
Boy, if you're ever going to have a raging house party, guns, ketamine, coke, 7-year-olds, and squatters. Sounds like a whale of a Saturday night. In all seriousness, I mean, these governors, they just, we got to end the charade. And I'm glad DeSantis has done it. Sadly, it'll fall on partisan politic lines. I'm sure Brian Kemp in Georgia or Greg Abbott in Texas, Glenn Youngkin in Virginia, on down the list, Kay Ivey in Alabama, whoever it is, these red governors will look at legislation and try to pass in and enact these laws that Florida is doing. And, you know, blue cities and blue states will wait until it's too late or it's undeniable or a minor is at risk, and then they'll send in the police.
It is unbelievable to me that they can claim residency because they're squatting in this house.
It's amazing they can do anything in this country.
Yeah.
Vote, squat, purchase this, buy that, not pay taxes.
Yep. By the way, streaming live on YouTube, if you want to see this video, Nick Cale, if you will do me a favor as I'm reading the story directly from the New York Post, if you can kind of describe what is happening. This is cut 3, Phil, if you want to put up the video. This is a man who punched a disabled man in a Manhattan. He may avoid jail time after blaming the attack on his diabetes.
Oh, so he needed a Snickers bar, and so he decided to knock out a man with a disability, you said? I think this guy's got some sort of issue because he's laying there knocked out almost cold.
Andrew Caban is blaming his diabetes for sucker punching 61-year-old Richard Regan. Regan was forced to undergo brain surgery due to the attack, spent 30 days in the hospital, and now lives with frequent seizures.
This is ridiculous.
At the time of the attack, he was headed to rehab for his stroke he suffered a couple years earlier. Caban says he is sorry that his diabetes caused the attack. I've suffered diabetes for a very long time, from a very young age. I've had hypoglycemic episodes previously, and I'm so sorry this happened, he said in Manhattan criminal court. I was reckless. There were no intentions at all. I had no intentions to harm him. Caban is trying to claim he didn't fully recall what happened because of his diabetes.
Phil, if you could keep just rolling this video on loop, you've got about two or three punches from the guy who's claiming diabetes is my defense.
Give me a break.
Knocks the guy down out cold, his legs buckled, and then the guy gets off the elevator, and then about a couple of seconds later, maybe some hotel or apartment building security or building security guard comes in and helps up this poor man. Dawn, I'll defer to you. You have a son with diabetes. Has your son ever knocked somebody out because the sugar was low?
No, of course not.
I didn't think so.
I mean, whether it's high blood sugar, low blood sugar, generally speaking, low blood sugar, you pass out.
Yeah.
And if it's extremely low, you could die.
You don't mean you... Yeah, actually, that happened to one of my neighbors a couple weeks ago. They almost went into a coma. So you're saying that punching somebody in the face is not really a reaction to...
Never heard that.
Never heard it?
Well, he didn't have insulin with him, so he had to throw a right cross.
Caban faced a year, up to a year in jail, but pled guilty to reckless assault in the third degree, which means he may get off with just a slap in the wrist under the sweetheart plea deal.
Of course.
New York City.
Yep.
Did he say he had hyperglycemia? Or hyperglycemia is high blood.
Hypoglycemic. Hypoglycemic.
Hmm. What does that mean?
I'm not yeah, I don't know.
Because hyper...
means you're hyper, right? No, I don't know.
Yeah, hypo...
It's like Michael Myers in
this
SNL.
This makes no sense. I thought he said hyper, which would be the high...
Yeah.
Hypoglycemia is where it goes, like your neighbor, it's where you go extremely low. And that's when you go into a coma or you can die. It's life-threatening. But low blood sugar... is never going to cause you to do what he just did.
It's not.
In fact, you don't have energy. You don't have the glucose. You know what I mean?
The hell you say, Don Stensland.
It just makes no sense.
Yeah, so we're just not going to prosecute people. We're going to let people off lightly. No cash bail. You know, people with, you know, multiple priors. It's just going to keep on happening.
By the way, I'm kind of compiling all of these stories for you just to show you these reckless cities.
Yep.
and these reckless laws.
Yep.
And these lawyers and these DAs that won't prosecute anybody or let people off in these sweetheart deals.
Yeah, we're
out on the streets when they shouldn't be.
Yeah. Empowering and emboldening the criminal. And they know. And these people are not stupid. They know what they can get away with. They are well aware. And everybody around the country and around the globe knows, with our border and things like that. These people, as detestable as they are aware of the playing conditions of the field, so to speak. And trust me, if law and order was a thing, you would see these stories slowly disappear.
Yeah. I agree with you, by the way. I mean, like, look, crime has always been a thing. There's always been deplorable people who do awful things. But it just seems that nobody has consequences for their actions anymore. We just make excuses for people.
And we've seen, I mean, to say that New York is unsalvageable or California is unsalvageable or Phil, it's not the case. We saw in New York when New York had their issues in the 80s and then they got tough on crime and tough on drugs from, you know, the early 90s through probably midway through the Bush administration, and I'm talking about GW, like 2005, 2006, New York had really cleaned up their act. So it can be done. You just got to elect the right people.
Mark Bissey says we need to send Snake Plissken in. Remember from
Snake Plissken. What movie is that from? Why am I not recognizing
that? That's Kurt Russell, right? From
One of those like Rambo type movies he was in.
Wasn't
Rambo, but it was
somebody on the chat. Tell me what movie it is, and I can picture it. I just can't think of the name.
Yeah.
Let's go over to San Francisco, shall we?
Escape from New York.
Yeah, Escape from New York. Thank you.
Yes, we're going to escape New York and go to San Francisco.
Remember? Sorry, I had a coughing fit. That's why I turned my microphone off.
Snake Plissken.
Yep. Let's go over to San Francisco, shall we? Remember when AOC said that these people that were looting and stealing from places, they just needed bread.
Right.
They just needed bread to feed their families.
Yes.
Everybody must eat. This video, courtesy and audio, courtesy of CBS News in the Bay Area. This is a Walgreens that was ransacked on Easter Sunday.
Hey, crime doesn't even take off a day.
Look what they're Jesus. Look what they're stealing. Look what they're stealing, and tell me that these people just need bread.
Yeah.
Just need bread to feed their families.
Right.
Got six, Phil, go.
On Easter Sunday, this brazen group grabbing what they please.
At least they've got masks on.
Carrying bags and backpacks, they went up and down the aisles, stealing merchandise. There is a security camera inside the store.
Look at
and
this.
And a KPIX employee was taking this video, but this group didn't seem to care.
Nope. And it was just like an ambush, basically. That's pretty much it. It was that quick.
Our producer who took this video didn't want to be identified, but describes what happened.
It took me about 3 seconds to pull my phone out and started videoing and or filming. And
just take whatever you need.
No care at all. So.
Were you concerned even standing in their way taking video?
No, I mean, it's San Francisco. I'm so kind of immune to it at this point.
What was the reaction of the employees during and after?
Stand
they
down.
Did nothing. Basically, they just, I think they're also probably immune to it. Again, it's that area. It's Market and Civic Center. I think they're used to smash and grabs in that mm-hmm. area, especially the Walgreens and
Well, I mean, once again, they know, and I'm looking, and if you're watching along on that video, those items that they grabbed up and down those aisles, that's not going to add up to $2,000. And I think the law is in California that shoplifting under $2,000 will not result in your prosecution. So, again, these people know, and they even on Easter Sunday, hey, we need some deodorant, we need pantyhose, mouthwash, and some floss. All right, I'll be right back. I'm going to go loot. Anybody else need anything while I'm out?
Mm-hmm. Back in the day, these individuals could have been shot.
Yeah.
If this were especially a mom and pop store.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is why a lot of people are closing shop.
Yep.
Because they know that if they take any action, if they do anything to stop individuals like this from coming in and robbing them blind, and the margins in this economy are so slim.
Mm-hmm.
That they know they're the ones, the owners and the workers are going to be persecuted, prosecuted. And so that's why we see the closing up of shops like this.
And then when you see big chains like Walgreens leaving rough areas of big blue cities because of the theft and the losses on their end, then squad Dems come out and say that it's racist.
Yep.
For Walgreens or yep. CVS to leave the community that they're supposed to be serving.
Yes.
Well, if you enforce the laws, Walgreens wouldn't leave. Because you know what Walgreens' goal is? To turn a profit. Hard to turn a profit when you get ransacked.
You a video game guy, Nick Hale?
I used to be, but only two video games. If it was sports, it was the Madden football game.
Yep.
And Call of Duty, the war game.
The new NHL game, NHL 24 from EAS Sports, won't let you use the name Team Trump to be a team.
In the create a team, create a player mold?
Because it contains profanity.
Trump's now a profane word.
Yeah, play the video, Phil, if you can. This is cut.
Oh, yes, I did see this. Look at this.
Cut four.
This guy is trying to create his team name, and you can use... an alternative name, a created, edited name, or Team USA. And he's trying to put... Okay, now he's putting in Team Biden. Let me guess. They accepted it.
Of course.
Okay, so you can create a team in NHL 24.
Yep.
Team Biden.
Yep.
But Team Trump is banned.
Yep. That is an amazing, amazing piece of video right there.
I never knew that. Now, I guess that would probably be EA Sports that makes that video game, would be my assumption.
Yep.
I never knew EA Sports had a political bias in the video game industry.
Team Trump contains profanity, but Team Biden does. What?
Well, I mean,
what?
Elon Musk is also on par with Hitler, according to AI's Google chatbot. So my guess is EA Sports is probably a company that's headquartered probably in Silicon Valley, or at least in California in general. So, yeah, they probably have a bunch of 23-year-old left-wingers drinking Mountain Dew, eating Cheetos, and vaping, and they think Trump's a profane name.
Amazing. Yeah. It's amazing.
Hey, why don't you go Trump yourself?
That's funny.
Yeah. What a disgrace.
So, we discussed the other day RFK Jr. saying on CNN that he believes that Joe Biden actually presents a bigger risk to democracy than Donald Trump.
Yep.
They were debating that on CNN yesterday because, you know, that's what they do.
Right.
Somebody says something and then they spend days debating what that person said.
But if they all agree that Trump's the bigger threat, then there's no debate. This is just groupthink.
Well, according to this Eva McKend, who was on the lead with Jake Tapper, she says RFK Jr. presents a threat to the political establishment on both sides. Remember I said he's kind of running as the outsider mm-hmm. candidate?
Yeah.
She says sometimes he sounds MAGA, sometimes he sounds far left. You just don't know how to pin him down.
Okay.
And I know you have some thoughts on this because I saw your Twitter feed yesterday about RFK Jr., Nick.
So oh, yes.
I'm
yes,
kind of teeing you up for this.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Cut to Phil, go.
I can make the argument that President Biden is a much worse threat to democracy. And the reason for that is President Biden is the first candidate in history, the first president in history that has used the federal agencies to censor political speech, so to censor his opponent.
So, I mean, there's a lot in that. We should note, you know, it wasn't Biden doing the censoring, although the Biden administration for sure was asking social media companies to cut down on misinformation about the virus. And he was, Kennedy Jr., was suspended from Instagram for, quote, repeatedly sharing debunked claims about the coronavirus or vaccines. What's the strategy here?
Well, I can tell you who his campaign is appealing to. I was at his rally last week in Oakland. You have people who didn't vote at all in 2020 showing up. And then you have people who voted for President Biden in 2020 that also are attracted to his campaign. I think sometimes here in Washington, it is easy for us to lose sight that there are people on both sides of the aisle that were not happy with being forced to take the COVID shot. That felt as though deeply aggrieved that they, in order to reenter society, had to get vaccinated. And so he does speak to those people, and they aren't all on one side of the aisle. But also his politics writ large are really complicated on a whole number of issues. That's why I think he presents a threat to the political establishment on both sides,
mm-hmm.
because it's sort of hard to put him in a box when it comes to a host of policy matters. Sometimes he sounds MAGA.
Box.
Sometimes he sounds far left
yeah.
on issues of climate change, for instance.
Okay. Well, I got news for her. There's a lot of people out there that are like RFK Jr. that don't fit into one nice little succinct box, okay? My wife's uncle, I tell you all the time, he's RFK Jr. meets Alex Jones. I mean, he can go from far left to far right and anywhere in between on any given issue. But I said this yesterday on Twitter. I said RFK Jr. is a leftist. RFK Jr. also has a few stances on a few issues that align with the right. RFK Jr. will also take more votes from Biden, and this is just my personal opinion. He'll take more votes from Biden than Trump, which I believe makes him a net positive for Donald Trump. All of these things can be true simultaneously, despite what grifters on social media will try to tell you. Like, I think if you were to weigh every single issue of RFK Jr., the ledger would skew hard left. But he has a few things that I think make him appealing to some on the right. And he's, I would say, the three most popular or recognizable figures that probably will support, vote for, and or endorse RFK Jr. are Joe Rogan, Aaron Rodgers, mm-hmm. which I think he officially has done so, although Rogan has voted for Trump. But I also think Rogan likes RFK. Aaron Rodgers.
I don't think Rogan voted for Trump, dude.
No, I'm almost certain. No, that wasn't Rogan. That was Dana White.
Yeah.
Sorry, I mixed up
yes.
my bald guys. So
he hates that, by the way.
I know. I saw him snap at Sage Steele for
yeah.
doing that.
Yep.
And so you have Aaron Rodgers, you have Joe Rogan, and you have Elon Musk. And I think there are a lot of people out there. And, you know, you might say, well, RFK is only polling at 12% or 18%. But quantify that percentage based on the amount of millions of Americans in this country. Yeah, there's a market for RFK, and he's going to be a factor. I think he helps Trump bottom line, though.
Okay, I'm just looking back at what because in about 2 weeks ago, Joe Rogan did make that comment. I'd vote for Trump before I'd vote for Biden. Mm-hmm. And then remember, he said Joe Biden's cabinet couldn't run a Ben and Jerry's.
Yes.
So I think that's what gave Nick the perception.
Yeah. Well, Dana White has been one of these guys that said, no, you go bleep yourself. I voted for Trump and no business will, you know, tell me I have to tone it down. Remember when Dana White was going off, I don't know if it was Bud Light or some company that came out and was like, why don't you dial it back? And he's like, no, I'm not dialing it back. So, all right, we'll take a couple of calls really quick here when it comes to some of the stuff that we've been discussing here. On the cut sheet, people want to weigh in. 855-839-1210. Tom is in Percocet, and he's got some solutions to looting. Tom, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. Great show.
Thank you.
As always. Hey, I kind of, this just came into my mind when you were talking about these looters in all these stores. Well, look at, I think Dawn had talked about Amazon Fresh, how if you go into the store, as you go through the store, they know exactly what's in your cart and your bag. I think that would be an expensive thing to do. But imagine these looters, they start going through the store, and once they hit the $2,000 mark, a Batman net drops down on them.
I would love that.
Woo!
Wow. It's a thought, you know?
Yeah. No, I like it. But we got to have Robin, a.k.a. Burt Ward, saying, holy hairnets, Batman, or something. Now, here's the only problem with that.
Yeah.
Beyond the obvious of, you know, dropping a net out of the sky. These companies have advised their employees not to confront these individuals.
I know.
So it's like, okay, yeah, you can call the cops, but by the time you call the cops and they arrive, the looter's probably a mile and a half away from the crime scene.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, until these companies say, hey, if they do somehow get to 2,000, then you can physically intervene. We're not going to make any progress, but they're never going to do that because they don't want lawsuits.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
They don't want to have to pay for the injuries to their employee, much less the lawsuit from the criminal who's saying, you assaulted me.
We're at this weird spot now where the business owners can't do anything, mm-hmm. and the law enforcement is not going to do anything.
Yep.
So these criminals are coming in and be like, yeah, I'm not going to hide my face. I'm literally just going to walk in. Empty the, you know, the shelves and leave, and nobody's going to stop me.
Nope.
It's ridiculous.
And it could end today. It's not like there's no solution. We know what the solution is. It's flat out at the top. You got to vote these people out. And secondly, hope that maybe they just get to a point where they feel like they will lose re-election, so they have to do a 180 in reverse course.
What do you think would happen if all those individuals right there that you're showing in the store, and they block the doors, and they've got, you know, armed guys or the sticky Spider-Man nets or whatever.
Yeah.
Boom. It never happens again. No. It's done.
It's done. You're absolutely right. Now, there's probably a few people that will stand down. There's others that are going to fight, and we're going to have violence, and it's going to turn into, you know, assault or manslaughter or homicide or whatever. But I think most people, because I do believe you can deter crime. You just have to be tough on it.
Sure.
So, you know, whether that's, you know, border walls, razor wire, whether that's armed guards or just prosecutors that say, look, you better hope you don't get arrested and end up on my docket, because the last thing you want is me prosecuting you because you're going away.
You come out of that Walgreens with a bunch of stuff that you shoplifted and you get a bullet in the leg or you get a billy club between the eyes, you'll think twice about doing it again.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just saying.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Let's grab Tony in Pottstown. He wants some thoughts here on Trump's polling numbers. Tony, good morning. How are you?
Buenos dias, muchachos.
Oh, it's our buddy Tony.
What's up, guys?
Hola.
By the way, that means good morning, gentlemen and lady.
Yes.
Thank you.
Great job, by the way. I love your show.
Thank you, Tony.
All right. Number one. The illegals got to go back to where they came from. Number two, America is the best country in the world. I just bought my new truck.
Nice.
Yesterday, bought my new truck. Number three, all right, so I've been thinking about this. Trump said during all the debates, correct, all the Republican debates,
yep.
He said based on the numbers, based on the polls, we believe that Trump is winning. We believe that there is going to be a red wave. What is the numbers of every poll in America are crook.
Are what?
Are crooks?
Like, what if all the numbers are controlled by someone? What if they're giving us fake numbers?
Well, I mean, that's what that's kind of the takeaway we've had since the midterms of, you know, November of 2022.
So why Trump said during all the debates of with all the Republicans, you know, I think that's going to be a weak spot, because based on the numbers Trump said, like, he didn't debate anybody.
True, but here's the thing you have to remember, Tony. When you look at some of these numbers, and I've got these, I'll give you the swing state polling numbers. This was just 9 hours ago from the Wall Street Journal. To your point, though, Pennsylvania, Trump is up 3. Michigan, Trump is up 3. Nevada, Trump is up 4. Arizona, Trump's up 5. North Carolina, Trump is up 6. And Wisconsin, they are tied. And Georgia, Trump is up 1. But here's the margin of error. It's 4%. So Trump in Georgia, Wisconsin, Michigan, Nevada, Pennsylvania. The only two outside the margin of error are Arizona and North Carolina. I think Trump's going to win Arizona. I think Trump's going to take the border states with dealing with all of these issues. But again, and you kind of highlighted the point, these numbers have been incredibly, incredibly wrong in the last 2 years. I mean, the only place where the anticipated red wave that occurred that matched the polling was largely Florida. Other than that, it's been like, and that's why they give you the disclaimer of margin of error. Trump could be up in a poll by 3 points and then lose that state on election day by 4 points. So you see those swings. So it's not out of the equation. So I don't trust any of the polls. I just give them as a talking point.
Tulsi Gabbard was on Tucker Carlson's program last week.
I love her.
And she was asked about being Trump's VP. This is what, because there was a report yesterday. I think she spoke to, I don't know, there's a New York Post or New York Magazine, one of those two. And she claims that she was asked to be RFK Jr.'s VP, but she turned it down.
Oh.
Or they couldn't come to some agreement, I think.
Okay.
So last week she was asked about being Trump's VP, and this is what she said. This is cut 11, Phil, go.
In a lot of different news stories, talked about as a potential VP choice for Trump. I have no idea if that's going to happen or not. Probably unknowable. Are you open to that? If you don't do that, what else are you open to? What's your plan?
I would be honored. I'd be honored to serve our country in that way or in other ways, and to be in a position to help President Trump if he is reelected. To actually address these challenges, to help execute those policies that will bring back a secure border, that will breathe new life into our economy and start to get this radical inflation out of control. Which on that note, I was in a conversation the other day with like two different groups of people. One was with a very, very wealthy couple. And they were saying, well, gosh, you know, and they're not fans of President Biden either. They're like, you know, the economy is not actually that bad. The stock market's doing all right. And, you know, it's not really as bad as a lot of people are saying it is. And then the next conversation was with people who are not part of that wealthy class, who were talking about, you know, a loaf of bread is 3 times more expensive today than it was 6 months ago.
Yep.
Or a year ago. Basic necessities, electricity, food, medicine, all of the things that people need just to live and to try to live in a healthy way are far more expensive, but they're not making a whole lot more. The dollar is going, you know, not going nearly as far as it needs to in order to be able to afford this inflation. And so I just mentioned that because this disconnect still continues between the elite in Washington and the reality that they live in versus the reality that the rest of us live in this country. And President Trump recognizes that. I'd love to be in a position to help secure our country and to get us off this path towards World War III and nuclear war that the Democrat elite and President Biden's policies have us on.
All right, so that was a very interesting clip. You guys know I'm a big fan of Tulsi Gabbard's. I have no reason to believe that the RFK Veep invitation is not true. I would imagine his camp would come out and deny it if that was not the case. I do think she would make a tremendous selection for Donald Trump for vice president. And I think if you're looking about trying to secure some of those suburban females that might be winnable or attainable, I think she could be an asset for Trump. I'd also like to hear her stance on, obviously, the biggest issue plaguing Republicans, and that's abortion. So, but I also think she can come at it from a standpoint of, hey, I used to be a Democrat, and I left that party, and like, there's a lot of people out there that have done so, and we've seen that here in Pennsylvania with voter registration up for Republicans.
I think that he should choose her. I don't think that he will choose her.
Agreed.
I think it's going to be a male.
Ugh.
I think it's going to be an African American male.
Okay. Well, I mean, we've talked about this. You know, are you going female? Are you going African American man? Or are you going Latino man? We've heard Marco Rubio, but you're doing so well, and I've said this countless times. You're doing so well with Hispanic voters. I don't know that you absolutely need that. I would argue probably black man or female. And again, my top choice, if you're going for an African-American man, would be Byron Donalds.
Yep.
But he's my top choice for everything.
Finally, this morning, and then we can make way for Tony Bruno. I want to play an amazing clip. Rand Paul on the House floor, on the Senate floor, talking about
Pints and politics,
the ridiculous things the government spends our tax money on, which I think is hysterical. But by the way, if you have not done so yet, Dom Giordano is going to host Rand Paul for Politics and Pints on April 11th.
This is
such a cool event.
It's at the Zlock Performing Arts Center in Newtown, Bucks County. It's a great location. Tickets are on 1210WPHT.com. They're going to discuss his new book, Deception, The Great COVID Cover-Up, about Anthony Fauci. And you get a signed copy of the book along with your tickets. So
I just
go there right now, 1210WPHT.com, to get these great tickets while they last.
Are other hosts on the station allowed to attend this event?
I believe so. Okay. I think we're going to have Dom on maybe tomorrow.
Okay.
To discuss the event, and maybe, you know, you can throw your name in the hat.
Yeah, I just want to go for two reasons.
Dawn won't be here, so.
Yes, Dawn will
be. I'll be in Italy.
Traveling the globe.
It'll be 77 degrees.
She'll be back by 4th of July. I just want to go for two reasons. I want to go there and shake Rand Paul's hand and say, hey, man, thank you for grilling Fauci.
Yeah.
Now get me a stinking beer. I don't want Rand Paul to get me the beer. I want the bartender to get
it. I'm going to bring a bottle of bourbon backstage.
No!
Because I want I want Dom and Rand Paul to go shot for shot and then do a stage show.
Oh my God.
It's going to be amazing. All right, this is Rand Paul discussing the ridiculous things the government spends your tax money on. This is Cut 12, Phil, go.
Gin to a sunfish versus tequila, which would make the sunfish more aggressive? Nearly $1 million spent studying whether or not Japanese quail, if you give them cocaine, whether or not they're more sexually promiscuous. Was it one small step for man, or was it one small step for a man? And in the end, $750,000 later, they couldn't decide. Was it one step for man, one step for a man? $2 million for the construction of a kelp and shellfish nursery in Maine. $1.5 million to encourage video gaming in New York.
Oh, my God.
We might be better off spending $1.5 million to discourage kids from playing video games. $388,000 for Columbia University. Be giving a rich university that has $13 billion any money. $249,000 for the Baltimore Symphony. Give money to all the symphonies, and we'd make them part of government. Whether or not...
There you go.
That is outrageous. Sorry. The tequila gin thing, I actually can confirm. Gin does make you a little more agitated and hostile.
Does it?
Yeah.
Really?
Gin's my weak spot. Wow. I got to be very careful when I drink gin or I start making outrageous claims like I invented the question mark.
See, but you could have saved him all those millions of tax dollars.
How about that? $250,000 for a symphony, $1.5 million for the encouragement of video games. That's the lie. Think about this, because I guess video games are still a big thing. But prior to, the internet and social media and apps, like kids in the 90s, we would I was always outside, but when there was a rainy day, I would have a couple of hours where I would just binge out on video games.
Yep.
But imagine video games still being a prominent thing today on top of tablets, YouTube, TikTok. I mean, no wonder why kids have no social skills. When they're not scrolling and swiping, they're playing these mind-numbing video games, and it just totally warps your sense of reality. Some of these kids go outside and they just, the sun hits them and they don't know how to function. They're like a vampire.
Well, that was an awesome riff as Rand Paul was calling out the top 10 worst, the pork, the earmarks that are ridiculous.
The amount of money this government just wastes.
Fleecing.
Garbage.
My goal is fleecing to get Rand Paul drunk on April 11th.
I want to see Dom drunk. I challenge him to a golf match.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Tickets at 1210 WPH to get our combo.
All right. That'll do it for round one of the cut sheet. Actually, the only round today, because 1 hour from now, we will have our veteran spotlight, Josh Jabin, the COO of the Travis Mannion Foundation, a Marine himself. We'll talk to him in an hour. On the other side, we will talk to Tony Bruno, live from Florida. It's a good thing the Phillies got a victory. Maybe Bruno won't hit the panic button 5 games in. But we don't have to do those stories and shows anymore. Hey, the Phillies are 1-4. Is it time to hit the panic alarm? 6-1-0. It's like, dude, they have 156 games left. Relax. All right, but let me tell you about the Piazza Auto Group. We dropped the debut episode of Kale Pool Karaoke just about 7 weeks ago, and Patrick Murphy was our first guest. And we filmed that in the 2024 Honda Pilot Trail Sport, which features a 7-mode drive system, Trail Watch, multi-camera view, 18-inch alloy wheels, and wireless Apple CarPlay. And maybe the best feature of all for a father or for a wife and a mother, third row seating. If you've got a building, bigger family that's expanding, that third row seating comes in handy. And you can check out all the new options, including third row seating, on all of the variations of the Honda Pilot. The Trail Sport is a very unique model, but they come in other shapes and sizes with all the bells and whistles. You can check it out at one of the 5 Piazza Honda locations in Philadelphia, Pottstown, Reading, Springfield, and Langhorne, or shop all their inventory in one convenient destination, PiazzaAutoGroup.com.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.
This is what, because there was a report yesterday, I think she spoke to, I don't know, there's a New York Post or New York Magazine, one of those two, and she claims that she was asked to be RFK Jr.'s VP, but she turned it down.
Oh.
Or they couldn't come to some agreement, I think.
Okay.
So last week she was asked about being Trump's VP, and this is what she said. This is cut 11, Phil, go.
In a lot of different news stories, talked about as a potential VP choice for Trump. I have no idea if that's going to happen or not. Probably unknowable. Are you open to that? If you don't do that, what else are you open to? What's your plan?
I would be honored. I'd be honored to serve our country in that way or in other ways, and to be in a position to help President Trump if he is reelected. To actually address these challenges, to help execute those policies that will bring back a secure border, that will breathe new life into our economy and start to get this radical inflation out of control. Which on that note, I was in a conversation the other day with two different groups of people. One was with a very, very wealthy couple. And they were saying, well, gosh, and they're not fans of President Biden either. They're like, the economy is not actually that bad. The stock market's doing all right. And, it's not really as bad as a lot of people are saying it is. And then the next conversation was with people who are not part of that wealthy class who were talking about, a loaf of bread is 3 times more expensive today than it was 6 months ago. Yep. Or a year ago. basic necessities, electricity, food, medicine, all of the things that people need just to live and to try to live in a healthy way are far more expensive, but they're not making a whole lot more. The dollar is going, you know, not going nearly as far as it needs to in order to be able to afford this inflation. And so I just mentioned that because this disconnect still continues between the elite in Washington and the reality that they live in versus the reality that the rest of us live in this country. And President Trump recognizes that. I'd love to be in a position to help secure our country and to get us off this path towards World War III and nuclear war that the Democrat elite and President Biden's policies have us on.
All right, so that was a very interesting clip. You guys know I'm a big fan of Tulsi Gabbard's. I have no reason to believe that the RFK Veep invitation is not true. I would imagine his camp would come out and deny it if that was not the case. I do think she would make a tremendous selection for Donald Trump for vice president. And I think if you're looking about trying to secure some of those suburban females that might be winnable or attainable, I think she could be an asset for Trump. I'd also like to hear her stance on, obviously, the biggest issue plaguing Republicans, and that's abortion. So, but I also think she can come at it from a standpoint of, hey, I used to be a Democrat, and I left that party. Yep. And, like, there's a lot of people out there that have done so. And we've seen that here in Pennsylvania with voter registration up for Republicans.
I think that he should choose her. I don't think that he will choose her.
Agreed.
I think it's going to be a male.
Ugh.
I think it's going to be an African American male.
Okay. Well, I mean, we've talked about this. You know, are you going female? Are you going African American man? Or are you going Latino man? We've heard Marco Rubio, but you're doing so well, and I've said this countless times. You're doing so well with Hispanic voters. I don't know that you absolutely need that. I would argue probably black man or female. And again, my top choice, if you're going for an African-American man, would be Byron Donalds.
Yep.
But he's my top choice for everything.
Finally, this morning, and then we can make way for Tony Bruno. I want to play an amazing clip. Rand Paul on the House floor, on the Senate floor, talking about
Pints and politics,
the ridiculous things the government spends our tax money on, which I think is hysterical. But by the way, if you have not done so yet, Dom Giordano is going to host Rand Paul for Politics and Pints on April 11th.
This is
such a cool event.
It's at the Zlock Performing Arts Center in Newtown, Bucks County. It's a great location. Tickets are on 1210wpht.com. They're going to discuss his new book, Deception, the Great COVID Cover-Up, about Anthony Fauci. And you get a signed copy of the book along with your tickets.
Go there now,
1210wpht.com, to get these great tickets while they last.
Are other hosts on the station allowed to attend this event?
I believe so. Okay. I think we're going to have Dom on maybe tomorrow.
Okay.
To discuss the event, and maybe, you know, you can throw your name in the hat.
Yeah, I just want to go for two reasons.
Dawn won't be here, so.
Yes, Dawn will
be. I'll be in Italy.
Yeah. Traveling the globe.
It'll be 77 degrees.
She'll be back by 4th of July. I just want to go for two reasons. I want to go there and shake Rand Paul's hand and say, hey, man, thank you for grilling Fauci.
Yeah.
Now get me a stinking beer. I don't want Rand Paul to get me the beer. I want the bartender to get
it. I'm going to bring a bottle of bourbon backstage.
No!
Because I want I want Dom and Rand Paul to go shot for shot and then do a stage show.
Oh my God.
It's going to be amazing. All right, this is Rand Paul discussing the ridiculous things the government spends your tax money on. This is Cut 12, Phil, go.
Gin to a sunfish versus tequila, which would make the sunfish more aggressive? Nearly $1 million spent studying whether or not Japanese quail, if you give them cocaine, whether or not they're more sexually promiscuous. Was it one small step for man, or was it one small step for a man? And in the end, $750,000 later, they couldn't decide. Was it one step for man, one step for a man? $2 million for the construction of a kelp and shellfish nursery in Maine. $1.5 million
to encourage video gaming in New York.
Oh, my God.
We might be better off spending $1.5 million to discourage kids from playing video games. $388,000 for Columbia University. Be giving a rich university that has $13 billion any money. $249,000 for the Baltimore Symphony. Give money to all the symphonies and we'd make them part of government. Whether or not...
There you go.
That is outrageous. Sorry. The tequila gin thing, I actually can confirm. Gin does make you a little more agitated and hostile.
Does it?
Yeah.
Really?
Gin's my weak spot. Wow. I got to be very careful when I drink gin or I start making outrageous claims like I invented the question mark.
See, but you could have saved him all those millions of tax dollars.
How about that? 250 grand for a symphony, $1.5 million for the encouragement of video games. That's the lie. Think about this, because I guess video games are still a big thing. But prior to, you know, the internet and social media and apps, like kids in the 90s, we would I was always outside, but when there was like a rainy day, like I would have a couple of hours where I would just binge out on video games.
Yep.
But imagine video games still being a prominent thing today on top of tablets, YouTube, TikTok. I mean, no wonder why kids have no social skills. When they're not scrolling and swiping, they're playing these mind-numbing video games, and it just totally warps your sense of reality. Some of these kids go outside, and they just, like, the sun hits them, and they don't know how to function. They're like a vampire.
Well, that was an awesome riff as Rand Paul was calling out the top 10 worst... The pork, the earmarks that are ridiculous.
The amount of money this government just wastes.
Fleecing.
Garbage.
My goal is fleecing to get Rand Paul drunk on April 11th.
I want to see Dom drunk. I challenge him to a golf match.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Tickets at 1210WPHGR.com.
All right. That'll do it for round one of the cut sheet. Actually, the only round today because 1 hour from now, we will have our veteran spotlight, Josh Jabin, the COO of the Travis Mannion Foundation, a Marine himself. We'll talk to him in an hour. On the other side, we will talk to Tony Bruno, live from Florida. It's a good thing the Phillies got a victory. Maybe Bruno won't hit the panic button 5 games in. But we don't have to do those stories and shows anymore. Anyway, the Phillies are 1-4. Is it time to hit the panic alarm? 6-1-0. Like, dude, they have 156 games left. Relax. All right, but let me tell you about the Piazza Auto Group. We dropped the debut episode of Kale Pool Karaoke just about 7 weeks ago, and Patrick Murphy was our first guest. And we filmed that in the 2024 Honda Pilot Trail Sport, which features a 7-mode drive system, Trail Watch, multi-camera view, 18-inch alloy wheels, and wireless Apple CarPlay. And maybe the best feature of all, for a father or for a wife and a mother, third row seating. If you've got a building, bigger family that's expanding, that third row seating comes in handy. And you can check out all the new options, including third row seating, on all of the variations of the Honda Pilot. The Trail Sport is a very unique model, but they come in other shapes and sizes with all the bells and whistles. You can check it out at one of the 5 Piazza Honda locations in Philadelphia, Pottstown, Reading, Springfield, and Langhorne, or shop all their inventory in one convenient destination, PiazzaAutoGroup.com.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.